Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! Ha, ha, ha! You're on the crazy train!
All aboard!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's August 1st. Boy, summer is going fast, but you know what? There's a lot of fishing to be done and a lot of hunting coming up. This is the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors with your hosts, Dan Bush, and myself, Tom Neubauer. And today we have Mitch on the boards. Our regular producer must be off goofing off somewhere. But anyway, that's Sam, by the way. Anyway, you can always catch us every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. We're live. We're unrehearsed. It's a little bit of a wacky show, but I think you'll enjoy it. So you can always be a part of the show by calling 414-799-1250. That's 799-1250. Got any questions? Got any comments? Want to brag about a big fish? Hey, we're here for you, buddy. So sit back, take a nice easy ride on the crazy train with us this morning. So good morning, Mitch. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
Yeah.
So
what's new?
Well, you just said if somebody wants to brag about a fish, and I'm just going to warn them that if it sounds like it couldn't be possible or outlandish, that Tom will just hammer you and say, no way that you caught a 9-pound bass. So just be careful. Make sure whatever you're bragging about is realistic. That's all I got to say.
There you go.
Although you have been kinder and gentler, Tom. I have noticed that. So I don't know.
Yeah, a little bit.
Ever since your heart surgery there, something touched you on that operating table. But hey, you're talking August 1st.
Yeah.
You know what else happens August 1st is now I guess we got to wear a mask indoors wherever we go. Is that the case there?
Yeah, that's a statewide policy for right now. The state legislature wants to overturn it. They said it was unconstitutional, but we'll see. But, you know, I don't have a problem wearing masks in what any store I go to. I don't have a problem with that.
Is it required for you guys at Sherpers that you have to wear masks, all employees?
Yeah. Yes, we do. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. But as far as customers, now they have to wear them, but in the past they didn't.
Yeah, but before that, you know, about half of the people would and half would not. So, it was a personal choice. But, yeah, we got to wear them. The only thing is I got to pull my mask down below my nose. When I put my cheater glasses on, otherwise they get all fogged up. So, that's the only problem with those masks.
I came to the conclusion that if it made other people feel better, not myself, I'm not really worried myself, but if it made other people feel better, I would wear a mask when I went into stores. So I started that a couple days ago, just for the sake of other people. Then I can't wait to take it off when I get in the parking lot.
Yeah.
But I got a great suggestion for everybody. instead of those, you know, the masks like most everybody's wearing, put it around your ear. I got a better idea. I got this. I discovered this when I was up. I went up this week. I was up by Superior. Went across the bridge into Duluth. And everywhere you go there, you have to have a mask when you go inside. So I went to walk into a Quick Trip. Man, they got those things everywhere now. And I went to walk in, and I turned around to go back to my truck to get a regular mask. And I realized my bait mate, like whatever you call it, like around my neck. The I don't even know what you call those. But the fishermen wear them. You got them around your neck to protect your neck from the sun, and then you can pull it up over your face if you need be. And I had that on my neck. So all I did was just reach down over my face and walked in, and it's great. So I'm just going to wear that thing everywhere I go. It'll be around my neck. Fishermen, you know, bass guys wear them all the time. They're out in the sun all day long, and it helps, like I said, protect your back of your neck from getting sunburned. If there's bugs or if there's too much sun, you can just, and if you pull it up over your face, they're cool. They don't really, you know, it's not any bother wearing it or breathing through it. It just seems to be better than your basic mask. So I'm going to wear that everywhere I go.
Oh, there you go. There. That'll work.
Yeah, I got that from our good friends at Baitmate. I got a couple of those. But do they actually sell those in the store, sporting goods store?
Yeah, it's too bad. I don't know if they do or not, but it would be nice if Baitmate sent me one.
Well,
I would actually wear, I'd wear that one.
Yeah. You know? Well, I might have an extra one here, Tom. We'll have to look
and see what Santa Claus has.
Yeah.
You don't have to give me your extra one. Just next time, just tell Baitmate, hey, send Tommy one too. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, I got something for you, Danny.
What's that?
This is pretty interesting. You know, a lot of people listen to our show from all walks of life. Not just fishermen and hunters, but people who aren't even involved in fishing. But, you know, from what, like I said, all ages, all walks of life. So of my good friend Bob Garfinkel sent me an email. And he said, go on Facebook and look and go on to Dale Stroshine's page. So I called him up and I said, I don't know how to get on the Facebook. I have no clue what to do with that.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I know. I don't have anything. I don't know. And I don't care anyway. So anyway, he says, I'll send you a copy of it. So he printed it out and sent me a copy. And it's on Dale Stroshine's Facebook. And it says... He writes, he's got pictures in here, and he writes, so I did a radio piece here a few months ago over the phone with Tom Neubauer and Dan Bush, hosts of Cutting Edge Outdoors Fishing Show on 1250 AM or 105.7 FM. And this particular couple, by the name of Carrie and Mary, happened to be listening the day we did it and thought after listening to me, they'd book a trip for smallmouth bass. So he tells about his whole story about his day with Carrie and Mary catching smallies. And if I can just grab the next page here, he shows a picture of Carrie holding his smallmouth best, a 5-pound 11-ouncer, and they got a digital scale there. And Mary's personal best, a 4.58-pounder, you know, a picture of her holding it. So It's very cool, very nice that these people were listening. And by the way, we're going to send out congratulations to Mary and Carrie because they're soon to be married 50 years. So congrats to them. So that was a pretty nice story. Uh-oh. Mitch, did we lose Danny? Hello? Yeah, we lost. All right. Well, then that means I got to keep talking, folks, because we lost Danny for a second. You know, we had this problem last week that we lost Danny, and then they have to reconnect a few times during the 2 hours that we're on, and it's, boy, is it a pain in the butt, and it's going to be so nice when we get back in the studio. And I heard Sparky say that on the big show in the afternoon that we should be back on in the studio in September, beginning of September. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I hope that happens. And now Danny was just saying to me earlier, he said, well, if we do go back in the studio, what, we're supposed to wear face masks in the studio? And I said, well, I don't think so. So Danny, did you hear the part where I told about Mary and Carrie?
And Larry and his other brother, Larry.
Yeah, and their 50th wedding anniversary.
And they've been married 50 years.
Yeah. Very, very nice. Yeah, that they went out with Dale. Now, and then the next day they were going out with one of Dale's other guides for walleyes, I guess. So anyway, if Carrie and Mary are listening, thank you for listening. Yeah, and congratulations again. Yeah, 50 years, that's a long time. Well, hey, I'm approaching that.
50 years?
Yeah, it's you know, we've been married since 73, so this year was our 47th, so two more years and we'll be at 50. Wow, I can't believe it. Wow.
Do you ever forget your anniversary, or do you make
no,
sure you
never.
Remember that?
I never forget it, no.
How about your wife's birthday?
Never forget it. Never.
Okay. How about Mother's Day?
Nope. Never forget it. Well, I don't give her I don't forget it, but I don't give her a gift on Mother's Day because she's not my mother. So, but I make sure the kids always.
She's the mother of your children.
Yeah, but I make sure they always gave her something, and I always helped them along when they were young. So, and we always did something for her, you know. So, but I personally don't give. And I told her on Father's Day, don't give me a gift. And I told her that long time ago. I'm not your father, so don't give me anything on Father's Day. So we got that cleared up right away.
Do you make sure your sons give you a gift, though, on Father's Day?
No, I could care less if they don't have to give me a gift. Matter of fact, best Father's Day gift they can give me is if they all come over on Father's Day and everybody brings a six-pack.
I'm surprised.
And food.
Money.
Bring food and a six-pack. We're good to go. No, that's all. I don't even Christmas gifts. I tell them, you don't have to get me anything. Just come on over, you know. That's all I care about. I don't need anything. You know, I mean, the thing is, Danny, when you get to a certain age, and you know this, that, you know, if you want something, you go out and you buy it, you know. You don't wait for somebody to give it to you at Christmas time, you know, make a list or whatever. I remember one time, Dan, it was in the summertime. And I needed, I forget what it was, I needed something. I don't know if it was a weed whacker or something. And I said to my wife, I said, yeah, I need one of these. You know, or a hedge trimmer, that was it was. I wanted an electric. And my wife said, well, put it on your Christmas list. And I said, I don't need it in the middle of winter. I need it. I'm going to go buy it now. I'm not going to put it on a list. You know. So, but no, as far as forgetting her birthday or our anniversary, no, I would never forget that stuff. Never. So, that's about it.
I'll make sure I give you guys a present on your 50th birthday. Anniversary. Maybe I'll get you one of those Baitmate face shields we were talking about.
I gotta wait 2 years for that.
Is it 2 years? Wait a second. 73. Yeah. So it's going to be 23. So it's 20. That's 3 years.
Yeah. So it's been 47 years. This year, this May was 47 years, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Right? Wasn't it? I don't know.
So speaking of your sons, did they take you bass fishing this week? What's the bass report?
No, he's still busy. He's still doing his basketball stuff. So. Didn't have a chance to get out. But my middle son, Nick, who we've talked to a number of times, he's planning on buying a boat. I think he's got his wife talked into it, and he's making plans on buying a boat. So I don't know if he'll get it this year, but maybe next year, you know. So anyway.
Well, how do you talk your wife? How does a guy talk his wife into letting him buy a boat? How do you go about
that? That's a good question. I don't know. See,
what do you make like promises that they can go buy something?
No. Well, you know, in my situation, I just did it. I didn't ask or anything like that. I just did it. So, but I don't know how guys do that. I don't know. So maybe we'll have to ask somebody who's done that. You know, but I would just go buy a boat. You know, I would just tell my wife, yeah, I need this. I'm going to buy this. Yeah, she might be a little upset at first.
So you just come
away.
You just come home and you just say, I bought a boat. And yeah, she basically has to deal with it. So it's better to ask forgiveness than to ask for permission, basically.
Permission, that's right, exactly.
Just yeah, buy
just
the
can't
boat.
Undo the fact. You can't undo the fact, so you just go ahead and do it. But anyway, we got a break coming up, first of the day. We've got a few commercials to play. And folks, it's going to be a beautiful weekend. I mean, this is a weekend to get out and do something, especially if you're going to get out on the water. And by the way, Danny, I can hear you typing on your computer, so everybody knows what you're doing. You're playing on your computer. Anyway, we're sponsored by Baitmate, and this is the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Stay tuned for more, folks.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. We are presented by Baitmate Fish Attractants, Coleman Insect Repellents. Hey, we want to thank everybody out there for listening today. We always make it a point to that we support the badge, and we appreciate the officers out there protecting us, first responders, fire department, military, all the people out there keeping America safe. And thanks for all of you for listening.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, got something in last night, Danny. You know, you like Chinese food, right?
Love Chinese food.
Yeah, me too. I like it. Well, anyway, my son, my youngest son, Andy, he decides he had a hankering for Chinese. So he tells my wife and I, well, I'm going to bring Chinese food. So he brings enough, like you were at a buffet. He's got all these different things. It was like, my good, we got enough food now to have Chinese dinner tonight and tomorrow night. He brought so much over, and it's always so good, you know. Gee whiz. So, but anyway, yeah, that was pretty nice. That was quite the surprise, you know.
Well,
the surprise.
Being as you're on the subject of food, Tom, and I know you'll be having a very exciting gut report. Grilling. I've been doing a lot of grilling out here lately. Johnsonville brats. I've been making some hot dogs and hamburgers, and Loie likes the hamburgers. But grilling yourself?
Oh yeah, sure do. Summer and winter.
Okay, so I got some grilling tips, and being as you are like the greatly knowledgeable and a genius, I'm gonna run some things by you and see if you know these things. Okay, first of all, grilling, one of the things they say with meat is that you don't want to char the meat, and one of the reasons is it has something to do with carcinogens, and you're better off, they actually sometimes suggest cooking the meat prior to putting it on the grill, and then you don't have to go nuts on the grill and burn it.
Well, I would never cook the meat first and then put it on the grill. I mean, on like steaks or chops or something like that. What I do recommend though is browning it, not charring it. Charring it is nothing more than burning it, but browning it, because if you brown it, that gives it the Maillard effect, and you get a much more flavorable piece of meat. But as pre-cooked, huh?
What's that word you just used? Another big
Maillard
word you're teaching? Maillard.
The Maillard effect,
well,
yeah.
Don't you have to mow that every week?
But the thing is like when it comes to brats, I do boil those first and then put them on the grill. Not a lot of people can put them on the grill and cook them from start to finish without busting them, you know, without breaking the skin. There's only one person I know who can do that right now, and that's my son, Chris. But so I don't want to break the skin, so I boil them first. Then I put them on the grill to give it that grill flavor and just brown them, you know.
So. Okay, next question. Did you know that when the meat is done, you should let it sit for 5 minutes to let the juices reabsorb before you start eating, instead of eating it hot right off the grill? Let it sit 5 minutes.
Anywhere. Actually, some meats you might have to let, like turkeys, sit for like 15 minutes. You let, meats rest. They call it resting, and you should tent it. And like I remember when I last week's on the Gut Report, I said how when you take meat off the grill or off the fire or off of the onion, oven, you what you do is you got to take it off before the temperature that you want it to end at, because it'll keep cooking as it's resting, you know. So okay. If you want something at 140 degrees, you better take it off at 135, you know, because it'll go up to 140 sitting there, yeah.
So next one, how about, I don't use aluminum foil to wrap up the hot meat or whatever, because sometimes I guess that aluminum is not necessarily healthy, and some people with Alzheimer's have been found to have high amounts of aluminum in their brains or bodies or whatever. So now I'm going to wrap stuff up with the aluminum foil, the hot meat anyway. Did you know that?
I have never heard of that, and people across the world have been wrapping, you know, when their meat comes off the grill or oven, they've been tenting it in aluminum for as long as there's been aluminum. I've never heard that, and I don't know if I buy that or not, but you never know.
Well, I read that you might get some little bit particles or something. So, okay, how about this one?
I don't know.
If you want to make your kids happy, you were talking about the brats before they split. If you take hot dogs and you take and use like a tiny little knife, you write their name on the side of the hot dog, and then you put it on the grill. When the when the skin splits, the kids can see their name on the hot dog.
No, I did not know that.
Yep. So that's another one too.
I did not know that.
How about as far as cooking corn? Do you have a special way of cooking corn, you know, sweet corn?
Yeah, I shuck it first. I shuck the husk off and then put it on the grill.
Okay.
Now, some people leave the husk on and they soak it in water and then put it on the grill. That's fine. You can do it any way you want. But I like a little browning, a little, what do they call that, the sugar and all that. You brown it a little bit, okay? And I take the husk off and put it on the grill.
Okay, you're right, because from what I read, basically you can indeed do it anyway. However, people like to do it soak in water. Don't soak in water. Husk on, husk off. Another tip I heard, maybe see if you know this. Don't clean your grill with one of those wire brush bristle brushes.
Why not?
Because on average, 100 people go to the hospital every year after swallowing some leftover bristles from one of those brushes. Apparently.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it says you should just scrape it off with a piece of wood or something like that. So,
What if you swallow a piece of wood?
Nobody's ever gone to the hospital swallowing a piece of wood, Tom.
Well, you know, it's funny. I've never heard that. Although I do scrape my grill, because sometimes, like if I'm making ribs on the grill, it gets a little sticky in that. So I do. But here's a tip for you, Danny. You know, we've been told for years to oil the grates of the grill. You've heard that, right? Oil the grates of the grill so they don't so. Well, that's one thing.
I missed that
you,
directive.
For years, you know, you should have been doing that for years, right? Because then your meat won't stick. But here's, lately, actually the last number of years, I don't oil the grates of the grill. I oil the meat. I watched somebody on TV one time said, don't oil the grates, oil the meat. And it's true. If you put a little bit of, and it doesn't matter what kind of oil it is, and you put it on the meat when you put it on the grill, you have less chances of it sticking to the grill. So, but at least oil it before or after, but at least put it on the meat. Yeah, that does help. Uh-oh. Mitch, did we lose Danny again? We lost Danny again. Well, folks, guess what? Now they got to work on getting Danny back. And I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break while he gets Danny back, and we're going to come back with the gut report. So stay tuned for more, folks, right here on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Come here, I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
Good morning. The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor. Well, folks, I don't know when, you know, I'm getting older and I forget things, and I forget the last time I gave you this recipe, but I'm making it this morning, so that's why it's on my mind. This morning, when I get home, I am going to be making zucchini pancakes. If you'd never tried them, I would recommend highly that you did. You take 1 cup of shredded zucchini, 1 cup of flour, 1 egg, a little salt, a little pepper, 1/4 cup of grated Parmesan cheese, and 1/4 cup of finely diced onions. You put a little bit of water in, just enough so that it's a consistency of a pancake batter. Then you heat some oil up, a little bit, not a lot. You don't need a lot of oil, maybe about an inch or less. Ooh, excuse me, I had a sneeze there. Anyway, and jeez. I'm sorry, folks, but that just came on me. Anyway, and then you take a ladle and you ladle in, you know, batter. And I usually, on a pan, I can usually put 3 of them. Anyway, and you fry them until they're brown on both sides, you know, a golden brown. And I'll tell you what, what I do is I put butter and pancake syrup, but it's also really good with jams, jellies, marmalades, you know. I'm telling you, if you've never had zucchini pancakes, you definitely want to give them a try. They're really that good. The Gut Report was brought to you by Discount Liquor. And folks, it's Discount Liquor's 60th year in business. No other liquor store has been local and original family-owned for that many years. There's a reason why they've been in business that long. Price, service, and selection. So if you want any special deals, and they got them every week, all you got to do is go to discountliquorinc.com, and you'll get all those weekly specials. All right, we'll talk to you later. All right. Well, welcome back, folks, to the show. we lost Bushy again. I don't know, there's something going on funny. I wonder if, you know, it's 6:34 in the a.m. on a Saturday morning. And, you know, on the way into the show today, I had on this station, and they had this show on, I don't know if you've ever heard it, called Coast to Coast or West of the Rockies or East of the Rockies. I forget whatever it is. I think it's Coast to Coast. Anyway, and they talk about all kinds of supernatural type things. And this morning they were talking about poltergeists, and that's what I think is happening to Bushy's phone. Bushy, you got a poltergeist in your phone.
I don't know. The app keeps turning on and turning off. It's wax on, wax off. So
I think you got to call that phone company or the app company or somebody. Call Ghostbusters. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, at least here, and your app is not going out on us, so
no, it's not.
So we're doing okay that way anyway.
Yeah.
So Tom, I gotta ask you something. I was having a discussion with someone the other day about fishing baits, and we kind of came on the topic of if one fishing lure to use for each species, either casting or trolling, what would it be? So I'm going to run my list by you and see what you think, and maybe see what yours would be. So first of all, one bait pike, I would have to say a Johnson Silver Minnow. Now, a lot of people might say a Daredevil, but the Daredevil can get snagged in weeds, you know, if you're in shallow water, and they can be kind of heavy. A Johnson Silver Minnow, you can work through about anything. So Johnson Silver Minnow for pike.
Should I throw mine in after yours? All right,
yeah,
I'm just
going
to say a MEP spinner, and I wouldn't throw it in the weeds. Okay, next.
Okay, MEP spinner. All right, one bait for muskies. Now, this one I had to think about a lot, but if I had one bait for both casting
angling. I thought spinnerbait, because you control a spinnerbait as well. You can cast. But I decided on the Rapala Super Shad. Now, they troll and catch big muskies up in the Bay of Green Bay with those, but I've also had great success with muskies working it, twitching and ripping it. So for mine, I guess I'd go with that Rapala Super Shad.
And for me, I would go with a bucktail, and I wouldn't use it trolling because I'm not a troller. So I would just say a bucktail.
Okay. What color bucktail, Tom?
See, now that's a tough one, because lake color determines what color bucktail I'm going to use. You got black tail with a gold blade, black tail with a silver blade. You got a white tail with a gold blade. You know, those are my main ones, I guess. So,
I would think a good all-around one for any water, bucktail with maybe the orange blades.
Yeah, that's always good.
I mean, for dark water and for clear water, that always seems. And in a crankbait, I would say fire tiger pattern or a perch pattern would work regardless. Clear water, dark water, if super shad. So,
right,
okay.
Right.
How about for walleye? For walleye, I guess being as I troll a lot for them, I would have to say a husky jerk, Rapala husky jerk. And you can cast that too.
Okay. Now, does it have to be a lure?
No. Well, it has.
Okay. Okay, then I would say
a hook, Tom.
A jig with some kind of live bait on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jig and minnow probably. Bait. You know, let me ask you, Tom. You really don't see a lot of guys using jig and minnow. Everybody goes to Canada and they catch limits of walleyes on jig and minnow. Yeah, when I come south of Canada, I don't think about using a jig and minnow anymore. And why is that? I could probably go out on Pewaukee here with a jig and minnow and catch some walleyes.
Well, this time of year, I'd rather be using a jig and a half a crawler. I would use minnows in the spring and the fall, but in the summertime, I'd rather use that half a crawler. Leeches can be really good too, but I prefer the half a crawler on a jig or on a drop shot, you know, but basically, any kind of lead to take it down to the bottom and some kind of live bait. Yeah, I don't think you can go wrong with that.
So you're saying half a crawler now is better than a minnow.
And oh, what definitely.
Minnow better spring then? Is that what you said?
Yes. Yeah, spring and fall. As a matter of fact, when I go up to Minocqua at the end of the month, I'm telling you, we're going to have to bring 200 night crawlers with us.
It's a lot of. Oh, I heard the price. Yeah, the price of crawlers was going up too. I heard.
I know that's going to cost a few bucks.
Yeah, have to, you know
what I'm
make
thinking?
Extra
I'm
money
thinking
on your paper route.
I think I'm going to Bill Beal over at Sportsman's Den. Maybe I can get a discount from him.
I doubt it. So, okay, now top bait for bass. Again, I thought about a spinner bait. So many smallmouths on jerk baits. I would have, and I know they work for largemouth too, and you can work them when the water's cold or when I'd have to go with a jerk bait.
All right, for me, anywhere, anytime, any lake, any place in the world, it's going to be a plastic worm.
Okay, plastic worm.
Yep.
Okay, now I got one that we can finally agree on, Tom.
What's that?
Panfish.
Oh, yeah, we agree on this, I think.
Yeah, there's only one choice and one choice only for panfish. It's the mighty Minimite.
That's right, the Minimite. And you know what's funny? People, after last week's show, when we had a caller to ask if Sherpers had Minimites, and I said, yeah, we got a lot of them. And a lot of them were sold from after the show, okay? But one color was still there. A number of them, and that was the orange one. And, you know, for me, that's my favorite color. I'm surprised it was still there. I think it's the best one, but that's my opinion, you know.
So I was at Park Avenue Pizza last night with seeing our good friends over there. Make sure you go to Park Avenue Pizza and get their roasted chicken if you ever come out to Pewaukee. I bumped into a gentleman who, in fact, he used to fish with Joe Earhart. And so he knew Joe Earhart, Lou, who owned Easterlings over here. Apparently, they were all in a fishing club together. And the subject came up. I mean, we talked fishing for 30 minutes, but the subject came up to mini mites. He said his favorite mini mite is a pink mini mite with a white head, I believe. I think that's what he said is his favorite. Yeah. Have you ever, tried that one, Tom?
I haven't, but I've heard that from other people that pink is a big one for a lot of people. And bubblegum, that's a big one for a lot of people. Bubblegum, Danny, that's that. It's a pinkish color. See, there's the translucent pink, and then there's the opaque pink, which they call bubblegum, So a couple of different pinkish colors, but yeah.
I thought pink was pink, Tom. Why is it got a... complicated.
I didn't make it complicated. The manufacturers made it complicated.
Well, like for mini mites, though, do they have one they call the bubblegum color and they have another one they call... They do.
Pink. Yeah, one that's pink. Called pink and one that's called bubblegum. There's a definite difference. Yeah, definite. Yeah.
Okay, because they don't mark it on the outside of the packages, I don't think.
I don't know. I don't think so. It's only that way in the catalog.
So that only matters for like you when you're ordering them for Sherpers. Okay. Yes. Of panfish in the discussion that I had, the gentleman I spoke with said he was doing really well on bluegills. I believe he said on Lake Monona. And he's fishing in about 50 feet of water, I believe he said, and fishing about 15, 18 feet downriver. So if a guy's looking to get some bluegills, apparently some people are out there getting them. Now, we haven't talked to our good friend Paul Mihalik. He's typically out there slamming the bluegills. But let me ask you, Tom, I've never really done well fishing for suspended bluegills in deeper water. On weed edges, but have you ever had any success fishing for suspended bluegills in deep water?
Oh yes, and it's the easiest thing to do. You just drive around with your locator on. When you find that pod of fish, and the guy's right, they're usually around 12 feet down. They can be down as deep as 14 or as shallow as 10, but usually it's around 12 feet down, give or take a foot or so. And what's happening is that the bluegills are eating what's called daphnia that's in the lake. It's a zooplankton. Did you pronounce it zooplankton or zooplankton?
I think it's zooplankton.
Yeah. Well, anyway, they're eating this stuff called daphnia. And so they're in these pods. And you'll see the school of fish, a pod of fish on your locator. All you do is stop, get right over them, drop your bait down about 12 feet, and you will catch bluegills. Now, the problem is that that might be all 5 and 6 inches. You wanna find the school of, 8 and 9 inches, that's what you're looking for. But yeah, just drive around the lake in the deep water and you'll see them. You'll see pods of fish and just stop over them, drop your bait down. It is really that simple. But you're just not sure on the size of them. That's all.
Right. So basically if you catch a couple small ones, odds are that they're all the schools of fish tend to run the same size, correct?
Correct. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So, Danny, you know what time it is?
Time for the Hornswoggle contest?
Yeah, time to play the Hornswoggle, brought to you
by
Carl's.
What can they win, Tom?
Huh? Well, Carl Country's, it's sponsored by Carl's Country Market out there in Menominee Falls. They're on the corner of Pilgrim and Silver Spring. You'll win a $10 gift certificate to Carl's. And it's sponsored by Baitmate Fish Attractants and Coleman Insect Repellents. And Coleman and Baitmate will send you a really nice prize package. So you get a whole bunch of stuff if you win the Hornswoggle. So right now you got to call 799-1250. That's 414-799-1250. And to be a contestant. And like Danny always says, if you've won in the last 4 or 5 or 6 weeks, don't call. Let somebody else win, all right? We don't want to get the same people calling all the time. So anyway, call now, 799-1250. Be a contestant in the Hornswoggle. We'll be right back with more. He's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. And Mitch, the new guy, he's on the boards. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Skibberbuds Cutting Edge Out, along with Tom Neubauer. Hey, thanks for taking a ride on the crazy train this Saturday morning. And right now we have the long-awaited Hornswoggle segment. Do we have a lucky contestant?
Yes, we do. Mark in Franklin.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good morning, Mark.
Okay.
Morning.
Yeah, good.
I'll make the statement, and if I'm pulling your leg, it's a Hornswoggle. If I'm telling the truth, it's no Hornswoggle. So here we go. Today's topic is porcupines. The reason it's porcupines is I have a porcupine story right after the Hornswoggle. But here we go with the. If you get within 10 feet of the wily porcupine, they can spin their tail and throw their quills at you. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
That's a Hornswoggle.
That's a Hornswoggle.
Yeah, very good. All right.
Yeah, yeah. If we had a little... that you got to correct.
There it is. But,
here we go. That's even better. Thank you, Mitch. So, yeah, and that is an old wives' tale that the porcupine will throw their quills. But if you touch the porcupine, you can get those quills pretty easily, and they're pretty painful. I believe they're hollow as well. Okay.
Yeah.
Porcupine like to eat wood. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
That's a no Hornswoggle.
No Hornswoggle. Right.
God, you know your porcupine.
Ring and applause.
I know they call you stairs. When stairs, your steps.
No. Yep.
Wow. Wow.
And, final one. The porcupine is a member of the rodent family. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
I'll have to guess at this one. I'll say no Hornswoggle.
No Hornswoggle. You're correct. 3-3.
All righty.
That doesn't happen too often. That's
day,
great.
You made your day. Yeah, we started you off on the right foot. You can feel good, just like that trophy for third grade soccer. So thanks for listening. Thanks for playing. And we'll make sure we get that stuff sent out.
All right. Had a great show. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Right now. Wow. I didn't know the one about the wood, Danny.
Okay. This leads into my story because, as you all know, I'm a single straight white wealthy landowner from Douglas County. So I went up to Douglas County with my friend Troy Woodrow and his dog Max this week. Went up to the old gate up there, and we're sleeping middle of the night, and all of a sudden we hear this terrible grinding sound on the side of the cabin. So I wake up, and you know how sometimes, Tom, where you wake up and you're not quite sure where you're at?
Oh yeah.
I wake up and it's dark because it's night. That's why I was sleeping. And I look around, it's pitch black. Yeah. So I'm trying to figure out, first of all, I had to think, okay, where am I? And then I thought, okay, I'm in a cabin. Okay, where am I? Which bunk am I in? Okay, I'm in the bunk by the generator. Okay, what am I hearing? I'm hearing the sound right on the side of the wall by my head. So then Troy wakes up and he goes, what is that? And I said, well, we got a lot of mice in the generator shed. He says, dude, that ain't no mouse, that's a bear. And well, I don't know what it is. I said, grab your phone, we need a light. And so he couldn't find his phone, fumbling around in the dark. I always have a flashlight next to my bed when I go to sleep. Do you think I could find that
flashlight? Oh, God. Oh, no. We just lost Danny. Oh, and I was looking forward to finding out what that was at. Oh, geez. So Danny's got to get reconnected. And when he comes back, he'll tell us what that was. You know what, folks? I'm guessing that could be a porcupine chewing on the outside of the cabin, maybe. What do you think? I mean, that's my guess. I think that's why he was talking about porcupines, you know? I'm not sure, but I think that's what it might be it. Now, after Danny's story, I should tell you one about, when Danny said when you wake up sometimes and you're in a strange place, you don't know where you are. I've got a story about that too. And man, I'll tell you what, if that happens to you and you're away from home, you know, long ways away, and you don't know where you are, you think you're in the Twilight Zone, you know, and you want Rod Serling to come around the corner and get you out of it. But anyway, Danny is going to finish up that rest of that story as soon as they get him connected. You know, I think there's poltergeists in his phone or something. Are you back, Danny? All right, Danny's back.
Am I back?
No. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
You can hear me.
Yes. Okay. Finish the story.
Okay. So anyway, finally get a flashlight. Shine it out the window, and there's the old porcupine chewing on the side of the cabin. So I told Troy, I said, I'm going to have to shoot it. And because we had one actually chew a hole right in the side of the cabin about a year ago. So he's standing holding the flashlight at the window, out, you know, through the window. And we have a shotgun up there. So I grab the shotgun, put a shell in it, and I go out the front door. There I am, you know, in my underwear with the shotgun in my hand. Open the front door. Well, now the porcupine hears the door open, jumps off the side, and kind of runs off to the corner. So Troy just barely had the light on him. And, you know, it's kind of hard when you're shooting in the dark, Tom. So I had to I could kind of see the sight, but I lined up. And fortunately for me and unfortunately for the porcupine, successful and connected. And got the porcupine. But, I mean, I would live and let live. They're pretty much, they don't bother anybody, but we can't have them chewing on our cabin like that. And another thing, though, I've talked to people. My dad always claimed that they kill trees. He never liked porcupines. When he'd see them down in the woods on the land, he sometimes shot them because I guess they can kind of strip the bark and kill trees. And I also read that it's not uncommon for them to go into campsites and chew on canoe paddles.
Wow. Well, we got a special guest calling after 7 o'clock, and right now it's a couple minutes before 7, so we just got to make a couple of commercials, and then we got a special guest calling us. Would you say it was Mr. Carlson from...
What's his first name? He's from up north and has a sports shop up there.
I bet you it's called Carlson's Bait and Tackle. Or Carlson Sports Shop, right?
I don't think so.
No? All right. Well, listen, we'll be right back, folks. Stay tuned for the second hour with Dan Bush and me, Tom Neubauer. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.